think I turned it on. All right. We went to Louisiana the last couple days, and Larry and Danny and Obo. We just had a wonderful time, and I thank God for what happened. We had about 150 people come each night, and it was a time of celebration. It was a time of worship, and it was great. So God is good. And God is great. And Larry and Danny and Obo, if you just want to talk to them, they have a testimony of their own. It was exciting to come people to people, not just me going down preaching, teaching, but for our church to send three of our deacons. So if the three of you would just stand right now so you can see who you are. Larry and Dan and Obo. Yeah. Oh, Larry's in the back, yeah. So praise God. So we had a wonderful time all by ourselves, 8 hours going down, 8 hours coming back. And it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. All right, let's turn to Revelation chapter 3, verse 13. Revelation 3:13. I want to talk about cold and hot. Cold and hot. This scripture starts out with, "Hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The Holy Spirit operated in the Old Testament, but in the Old Testament, the prophets said something different. They had a different formula. They said, "Thus saith the Lord." But hundreds of years prior to that, that stopped. And the Jewish people no longer said, "Thus saith the Lord." And they began to say, "Rabbi so-and-so says, Rabbi so-and-so." So we moved from God speaking to Israel to sages or wise men speaking to Israel. And when that happens, and it's happening today in our church, and when that happens, you're not hearing God anymore. You're just hearing what some man has to say about God. But in the New Testament, the formula changed. And now when you speak for God, from God, to the people, you say, "Hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." Hear what the Spirit. We don't come to hear man. We don't come to hear a teacher, a preacher, a evangelist, or a pastor. You come to hear the living God. And that's all you want. All you either have come to hear or to speak, one or the other. And so God brings us together in fellowship to hear the word of the Lord, period. And that's powerful and exciting. So hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. This church is the church of Laodicea. Now some say that this is the last church and therefore it represents today. Others say this was one of the churches in the early church in Asia Minor, and because it talks about that, and that they're contemporaneous. In other words, they were all there at the same time in what we call today Turkey, modern Turkey. So whichever way it is, most of the scholars today and most of the preachers then believe that this is referring to our age. This is referring both contemporarily when it was first written to the churches that actually were in Turkey or Asia Minor. Now, most pastors believe this refers to the end times. This is our day. This is our time. So hot and cold is what Jesus wanted to talk about. And one of the things that he says, the Holy Spirit, one of the things the Holy Spirit says is, I wish you were cold. I wish you were cold. I wish you were chair number one. I wish you were a sinner. I wish you were wicked. I wish you opposed me. I wish you were proud. I wish you were arrogant. I wish you would not pretend like you're speaking for me. I wish you would just be against me. I prefer that. And then he says, or hot. I wish you were passionate. Spirit, soul, body, with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, just to serve me. I want you to go all the way or don't go at all. I wish you were either cold or I wish you were hot. I wish you would not be lukewarm. The thing I don't want is to be lukewarm, because I'm going to examine it, and it's anything less than hot, I'm going to call cold. I will never call lukewarm anything. Lukewarm is nothing. And I will vomit you out of my mouth. I will spew you out of my mouth. Like that. In other words, if you're lukewarm, you're just simply cold. That's all. You're just a mask of cold. You've got fig leaves on, but I see your nakedness. I totally don't see the fig leaves. So God wants Christianity to be hot. In other words, all the way. 4, 5, 6. I want you to be justified, then I want you to be sanctified, then I want you to be glorified. And I don't want you to say, well, I'm good enough. Chair 2. I don't want you to say, well, at least I'm not cold. At least I'm not sinful and wicked. And God says, yes, you still are. If you don't go all the way with me, you didn't go with me at all. If you don't go all the way, you didn't go with me at all. So God wants his church to be on fire. He says baptism of the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, fire burns up flesh but purifies spirit. So the purpose of fire, better than water. Water of baptism is good. It's a good beginning. But fire is how the world's going to end. It's going to end in fire. And it'll burn up everything that's of the flesh. Anything that you do, that's going to die. Anything that God does, that will survive. So your work, your kingdom, your goodness, your morality, your religion, that's all hateful to God. He hates religion. He hates morality. He hates civilization. He hates anything that he didn't build. You built that house. They that labor, labor in vain, unless the Lord build the house. So the Lord doesn't want you to justify yourself, sanctify yourself, glorify yourself, or do anything for him. Stop serving him. Let him do everything so that whatever you do, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads you, he guides you, he convicts you, he crucifies you, he blesses you, he lifts you up. He does everything. And so everything we do is in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus be saved, in the name of Jesus be healed, in the name of Jesus be glorified, magnified, everything. Everything is in the name of Jesus. To God be all the glory. So no glory to man. Now, you cannot save yourself. You cannot sanctify yourself. You cannot get rid of sin. You cannot do anything, and he doesn't want you to. He doesn't want you to put even one little thumbprint on it and say, I did that. I helped God a little bit right there. You didn't help God at all. You cannot help God. Anything you do is not perfect. Even if you're born again, it still isn't perfect. Even if you're a pastor, it still isn't perfect. You're the Pope, it still isn't perfect. He won't accept anything that man has done. So he hates all religion. So what's he doing in our day is dividing. He's dividing the church into two parts, cold and hot. He will not accept anyone who's lukewarm. So what he's saying in this scripture is very hard against the church today, because I guarantee to you 90% of the church is lukewarm. That is, it's wearing fig leaves. That is, it's hypocritical. That is to say, it's saying, well, I know I'm not perfect, chair number 4, 5, and 6. I know I'm not perfect, but, you know, I think I'm good enough. I know I've improved a lot. Well, God doesn't want that. He hates that. He hates your self-realization, your self-actualization, all the stuff that the school system today and the political agenda today and everything that, Cosmopolitan magazine would talk about or Oprah or all. He hates all that. It's all rubbish to God. And he's just warning you. He won't force you. He's not going to force anybody. He's just telling you, I'm not grading on a curve. I don't care that you're better than you used to be, or you're better than those people over there, or, you know, this and that and so on and so forth. He's just going to take one thing, perfect. If you're not perfect, you're not going to heaven. Isn't this good news? Yes. This is good news, because it's the truth, and it'll set you free. Is you don't do it. You don't do perfect. That's something you don't do. And if you get rid of pride one day, because the Holy Spirit convicts you of pride, and then you know, the next day you wake up, you'll have pride back again. And that humbles you. That I got rid of it yesterday, and now here it is again. And I'm proud of it that I got rid of it yesterday. Well, you know, it's back again. In other words, everything you do is rubbish. Anything you think, anything you feel, anything you desire, anything you imagine, it's all evil. You have to bring everything to God and make sure that you don't help out. You're not the helper. The Holy Spirit's the helper. You're not the convictor. The Holy Spirit's the convictor. He'll convict the world of sin because you didn't believe on Jesus. You didn't rely on him for everything. I relied on him to be my Savior, but now on the Lord part, you know, I'm the one submitted to him and I'm going to do what he says. No, you're not. The Holy Spirit's in you to will. You don't will it. Well, I know, but I'm willing it too. That you just lied. Now, I'm not trying to impress you or, you know, persuade you. I'm just telling you what the Word says. The Word doesn't want you. You be cold or be hot. I prefer cold. I wish you were cold. But if you are cold, at least I can convict you and we can have a war and I'm going to win. But if you're lukewarm, I cannot teach you, I cannot convict you because you already think you're good enough. You already think you're a Mason. You already think that, you know, you've got a nice family or you got the reward of the month, the yard of the month or something or other. You just think you're a good person. Well, you're not. You're evil to the hilt. The minute you're not looking at Jesus, you're looking at yourself, you're still selfish. So chair number one is the one that he loves. He loves sinners. Loves sinners. Buddha doesn't. Allah doesn't. None of the other religions love sinners. They all want people to behave. Our God does not want you to behave. All your behavior is a filthy rag. It's a stench in the nostrils of God. He hates it. And all of your good man at his best state, it's altogether vanity. So chair number two is always the exalted chair. If I were to line the chairs up today, which I'm not, but if I were to line them up, I'd put chair number two way up tall, maybe way at the back and put it on top of another one or something, because that's man at his best state. That's, I'm moral and I'm nice and people like me and I believe God, please God. And so I know you don't, you do nothing. People are just lying to you because you're lying to them. People love lying to each other. I'm good, you're good, we're both good. You know, that's all nonsense. How many know that when you marry somebody, you marry a sinner? How many know you marry a sinner? And I know you get used to them and all that, you know, kind of stuff because you've agreed to, you know, mask it off from one another. You know, I won't tell on you if you don't tell on me, that kind of thing. But the truth is, we're still evil. Now you say, well, I'm born again. Okay, you're born again. That's chair four. But born again doesn't mean you're perfect. How many know Christians sin? Christians still are selfish. Christians still lie. Christians still get angry. Christians still get frustrated. They're afraid. They're worried. They're anxious. They're nervous. All these kind of things are still with Christians. And every day, his mercies are new, because every day he's going to show you another sin so you can get forgiveness for the other sin. And some people feel, well, I'm the righteous of Christ. It's already finished. When Jesus died on the cross, it's over. No, it isn't. That's just over for your spiritual, your spirit. But you're a spirit and a soul and a body. And your body is not going to reflect what's in your spirit. I'm a Christian. Yeah, but you can still commit murder. You can still commit adultery. You can still, you know, you can still do things like, hi, how are you? It's so good to see you. While inside you're actually going, you know what? I hate having to meet you at all and even talk and say anything nice to you. I've never liked you. But I'm a Christian, so I have to say that. That's not Christianity. That is not Christianity. That's not the Holy Spirit. That was you hiding yourself from you, being what you ought to be rather than what you are. How many know you cannot be what you ought to be? You can only be what you are. What you are is what you are. So if you are chair number one, that's what you are, chair number one. So chair number two is a lie. It's everything built on a lie. This whole world is built on a lie. But chair number four is that Jesus Christ is all your righteousness. So you don't have any. You never had any. You never will have any, ever. You will never be righteous by any work that you do. Your righteousness is Jesus Christ. And you know what? Your righteousness is not even downstairs. It's not even here. Your righteousness is up in heaven. And only if you're in connection with your heavenly righteousness, which is hid with God in Christ, it's hidden. It's the bank up there is in a vault. And so upstairs, That's all your righteousness. It's Jesus Christ. And if I were to sit on a chair, I'd be sitting down on Jesus Christ because I rely totally on him. When I sit back, I'm not going to fall down because I'm going to be sitting on him. And so all my reliance is on Jesus to be my holiness, my goodness, my righteousness. So let's say you feel like you're depressed. How many know that just because you feel like you're depressed doesn't mean anything? Who said you were depressed? Who told you you were naked? Who lied to you? How many know that you're happy right now? If you're a Christian, you're happy. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. You get all the fruits of the Spirit. And so you can go ahead and love right now. How many know that because of the righteousness of Christ, chair 4, even if you're not mature yet, even if you're immature and so on, you can still say, I'm righteous, I'm holy, I'm a saint. There's nowhere in the Bible that says to the sinners at Rome. There's no letter addressed to any sinners at Rome. It's always to saints. So when do I become a saint? Well, as soon as I believe in Jesus. But do I act like a saint all the time? Nope. Do I feel like a saint? Nope. Sometimes I'm depressed. I know Christians that are depressed. I think there's 3 of them here this morning. They're going to further depress you. Because, you know, depression is just a feeling. You know, it's just imagination. It's just your vain imagination. What do you mean you're depressed? Jesus Christ created you and now he's redeemed you and so on. You're happy all the time. No, I'm not. I don't feel happy at all. Yes, you are. You're wrong. You just lied to yourself. The devil just said that to you. Your flesh just said that to you. Somebody else just said that to you. And so you're happy. You are radiantly happy right now. Amen. Is that amazing or what? So you can then confess the sin. Well, I don't feel happy. Okay, it's just a sin. And I'm not going to be happy. Okay, you're just talking. It's just a vain imagination. Your mind is wacko and so on and so forth. So what? That's not who you are. You're a Christian because Jesus Christ lives inside of you. You're the temple of the living God. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You're all those things that God says you are. That's who you are. You're not who you feel you are. You're not who you think you are. You're not who you want to be. You are what God says you are. When you're in chair 1, you're in chair 1. When you're in chair 4, you're in chair 4. Now, anybody in chair 4, not because you feel like it, will sit in chair 5 and say, Lord, I know you forgive me all my sins. I know there are no sins now convicting me. I'll never be condemned or I'm never going to be judged by that. I want to sit in chair 5 so that I get rid of all my sin. Not to go to heaven, but to get others to go to heaven. Because if I love others and yet they see all my flesh coming out, because how many Christians every day have flesh? Every day. Even though it's been forgiven and even though it's not there in the eyes of God, it's still there in the eyes of the neighbor. They still see that you're proud when you're humble. How many know you're a new believer? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. All right, so you're no longer a sinner, but still sin comes out of you. How many know that Christians actually sin? And when you marry a Christian, you're actually marrying a Christian who's going to sin. And they're imperfect. And you're imperfect. So now you got 2 imperfect people, and God perfectly loves those 2 imperfect people. He's not mad at them. He doesn't care that you sin. He doesn't care that you have a bad thought or a bad feeling or a bad desire or a bad anything. He doesn't care about it. He's not caring about that. The devil is reminding you, but not God. God reminds you of who you are in Christ or who Christ is in you. And he wants you then to dwell on, think on things that are pure, that are holy, that are right, that are just, that are true, that are excellent, and so on. He wants you to constantly think on who Christ is, not how wonderful you are, but how glorious he is. And that he can't lie. So if he says, I love you, he can never change his mind. For all eternity, he cannot change his mind. Even if you choose to rebel against him and go against him and do all kinds of foolish things, he still loves you. He will always love you. Adolf Hitler was loved by God. He's demonic and so on. It doesn't make any difference. He still loves him. And he wanted him saved. But he won't force him. So he'd made his own decision. We don't know what decision he made. You don't know if he said to Eva at the last minute when they're drinking the poison and so on, hey, you know, Eva, we tried, you know, we're going to do 1,000 years. What did we have, 12 years? Well, not bad. But why don't we accept Jesus right now? Because I think we have messed up. I think the Americans are coming, and I think the Russians are going to get us, and I think we're finished. You know, and Eva said, I've been praying for that. You know, so you don't know that they didn't do that. You don't know. I don't think they did, but you don't know. So I'm leaving that one to God and Mao Zedong and whoever else. You don't know what they know. But, you know, every likelihood is they didn't, but it's none of your business. All you need to worry about is you. You don't have to worry about someone else. Just think on yourself. Do you sit in chair 4? Because if you're in chair 2, you won't get to chair 4. I'm going to say that again. If you're a moral person or you're a civilized person or you're thinking that there's some goodness in you, a little spark, a little divine, you know, something or other, you're wrong. You have Jesus Christ either living in you or you're living in you or the devil's living in you. Who cares which one it is? It doesn't make any difference. You don't know how to judge that. Only God does. Only God knows what's in your heart. So you don't even know. But you have His Word. And His Word is certain. And it will never change. And it's perfect. If it says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, that means He'll never leave you or forsake you. But you could forsake Him. You could leave Him. How many know that sometimes people do that? They grow up in a Christian family and they get 11, 12, 13, 14, something like that. And they just kind of go on their own way. Well, that's normal. There's nothing unusual about that. That's normal. I'd say most teenagers, when they become teenagers, they go as far from God as they can get and as close to the world as they can possibly get without falling all the way over into it and without losing God completely, absolutely, totally. So you kind of, you know, and that's good. That's a healthy thing because I believed my parents up until now. Or I believed, you know, God's word up until now. I didn't even think about it. But now that I'm thinking, I'm thinking, you know what? I'm kind of a contradiction. Chemistry somehow happened to me when I got 11 and a half or 12 or 13 or something. And I got new thoughts I never had before. And so now I don't know who I am. And my friends are doing stuff that they're wanting me to do. And I don't know if I'm supposed to be doing them or not. Had a young man yesterday in Louisiana. He said to me, you know, I want to be an actor when I grow up, but they want me to be in this play and it has the word damn in it, you know, and I don't think I can say that word as a Christian. So should I just not be in the play at all, or should I be in the play and say damn? What does a Christian do? It's a great question. It was a good question. He was dead earnest serious about it. Is, you know, I really want to know because I love play acting, but I don't want to say that word if you're not supposed to say it. He wouldn't even say the word, you know. And so he wanted to know, you know, maybe if he can have a substitute word or something, you know. And so I said, yeah, absolutely, you know, but just tell the conductor or the whoever the director is and so on and so forth. No, you can't say that word because you have a conscience problem, and there might be people in the audience that come to it that you would not invite because they wouldn't like that. And they wouldn't like me saying that. So I don't want to say it. And so therefore I have another substitute word, and I think I can put a lot of emphasis on it that'll sound just like it, but it won't be that word. And so I said, that sounds good to me. You know, that's what I'd do. I'd seek God, and then I'd go and tell, you know, here's your decision now. I don't have to be in this play. But if you want me in this play, I'm not going to say that word. But I have a better word, and I'll give the same emphasis, and I'll improve upon the writer's words. Because then Christians can come, my friends can come, and I can do it with a good conscience. Now, so God knows that as Christians, what the world calls moral, they don't know the difference between moral and Holy Spirit. But we do. We know that there's a difference between the soul and the spirit. There's a difference between the soul and the spirit. And so we don't want to be moved by the soul to please people. We want to be moved by the Spirit to please the living God, because that's who we are. You're a hypocrite if you're not what you are. What you are is you're a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. So either be, he says, I wish you were cold or hot. Either be passionate for sin, totally against me, go all the way against me, don't do anything, you know, less than that. Just oppose me, because I love to get in a battle with you. Well, I think I'm a little bit good. Okay, come against me all the way, because I said you're absolutely evil. How many know that God thinks that all men are sinful? I mean, He doesn't think you're you know, because you got four scout badges, you're very good. He doesn't think that. He thinks that you need Jesus Christ, period. And you have to be born again, period. And if you're a good Muslim, period, he rejects it. He doesn't want a good Muslim or a good Hindu or a good Allah guy or whatever. He wants us to be in love with Jesus Christ and no other. You cannot come to God without any other. Now, he's not going to change on that. Well, he was an awfully good Muslim. I think he was better than most Christians. God's not interested in that. How many know that? I don't really care if I'm right or wrong on what I just said, but that's what I got out of the Bible. I read that in the Bible, and I believe the Bible, I believe the truth of the Bible, which is Jesus Christ, but it's also those words in the Bible, I believe they're truth. So, if God says the other religions are okay, I'd say it, but he doesn't. He says they're not. They're not going to get you there. They're not good enough. I don't care how good they are to man, they're no good to God. So in his sight, he's the only one that gets to decide what's good and evil. He's the only one that gets to decide, and you can't even check his word. You actually have to get before him and have the living God inside of you to tell you by the Spirit. You got to be baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. Lord, what do I do here? I don't know. Is this the Abraham story? Is this the Luke story? Is this the John story? I don't know which one it is, but one of them is something, but you got to tell me because I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. And that's what God wants. He wants you always to be weak so he is strong. How many know that when you're weak, he's strong? And when you're strong, full of yourself, then you don't have him. And even though you're a Christian, you got to start every day. You got to die daily. Every day you got to get up. And if you had, you know, bitterness yesterday and you got rid of it, it might come back. I mean, there are people in this world who can actually make you bitter again. And I'll just say this. You can never get rid of all those sins. What you can do is not let them rule over you. What you can do is get in the Bible, and let's say you were afraid. You just say, perfect love casts out all fear. And that's the truth. I don't care if you feel it. I don't care if you understand it. I don't care if you desire to say it. Say it anyway. Do it anyway. So I don't care if you have a rhema or you don't have a rhema. Just do it. How many know that you can just do in the flesh? Might be the devil, might be you, might be Jesus. But just do it, and then let God work that out. Let God work that out. How many know that you don't have to work that out? How many, you're not the judge. You're not the judge. You're not going to be able to know whether that came from your heart or your soul or your body. You're not that sharp. Why don't you just rest? Come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest, right? So if you build your little two lifted up pyramid, your little unfinished pyramid, it'll never get anywhere. You'll never finish the pyramid. Sign your dollar bill. That little unfinished pyramid is as much as man can do. He can start, but he cannot finish. Everything you start, you cannot finish. So the good work I began in myself that I thought was good, it turns out to be no good. So anything you do, that's you. God will not glorify. He will not accept it. So Buddhists actually make sacrifices to God. But he won't accept it. Why? Because you did it. And you took credit for it. What's the guy named Prager? Dennis Prager. You know, he's Jewish. And he believes that if you sacrifice and if you do your best and you show goodness, then you go to heaven. You know, you're okay. Well, he's wrong. There's nothing in the Old Testament that says that. There's nothing in the New Testament that says that. But he believes it. 99% of the population believes that. And most Christians believe that. But I know they're wrong. I know they're absolutely wrong because God hates anything that you do. He doesn't want you to do one thing. He's in you to will. He's also in you to do. Well, what good is he if you're going to do it with him or help him out or do half of it or whatever? That's called witchcraft in the Bible. If you begin in the spirit but then you end in the flesh, you're in the flesh. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Why are you now being so foolish? Let him do it all. The Holy Spirit, when he's come, he will convict the world of sin. Here, now he redefines sin. Sin because you don't believe. You believe not on me. He should have said, you believe not on Jesus, or you believe not on the Father. No, he said, you believe not on me. I would have pointed to the Father. He didn't. He's so scandalous that he says, you can't get to the Father except by the Son. You got to go exactly the way I say. So that's in the Bible. That's very clear. There's no ambiguity to it, but people don't want to take God for his word. They don't want to look at the word. Why did he write that word if he didn't want you to read it? And why did he read it if he didn't want to tell you what, you know, what it means? So when you interpret it, you might be wrong, but being wrong won't get you into hell and keep you out of heaven. Just being wrong is not the issue. The issue is in your heart, are you being faithful to what you understand? Let's say you got it wrong. He'll forgive that. But you don't want to be wrong. Your whole heart is, God, I'm trying to serve you completely, but I don't know everything. You got to reveal it to me and make it real clear. And as a newbie, you know, just starting out, I'll probably get a bunch of things wrong. How many know that new Christians can get a bunch of things wrong? But God's tender. You can always run back to chair four if the fire gets so hot in chair five that you can't make it, run back to four. God, forgive me. Just forgive me. Just forgive me. Maybe I'm not as good a Christian as I thought I was. Just forgive me. You know what? He will. If those foolish virgins had come, knocked on the door and said, Jesus, Savior, Forgiver, unconditionally loving me, sorry about that oil thing. Forgot the Holy Ghost. We didn't have enough. We had the oil in the lamp thing. Yeah, I guess you know that. Yeah, you know that. Okay. But then we didn't have that extra vessel thing. We didn't fill ourselves with the Holy Ghost. We didn't actually be full. We used him. We speak in tongues every once in a while. But we didn't fill ourselves every day. So we didn't have enough oil for the long haul. We didn't know how long you were going to be. We didn't know if you're, and the others wouldn't give us any of theirs. How many know you cannot give your Holy Spirit to somebody else? You know, so you can't, I can't sleep for you. I can't live for you. I can't eat for you. I can't do a whole bunch of things that only you can do. I can't confess your sins for you. So there are some things that God, and this is your dignity. This is your glory. This is your value. This is your worth. This is who you are. You alone make your decision as to who you will be. God does not. God tells you which one to choose, but he doesn't force you to choose. You can either be hot or cold. I wish you were. I wish you were cold, because I can at least talk to cold people, because cold people are going to run into a brick wall sooner or later. Someone who opposes God and said, you know, I don't need Jesus, and I was this person. I don't need Jesus, and I'm not afraid of him, and I don't want his heaven, and I'm not afraid of his hell. I'm just going to live the way I want to, because I'm selfish and I'm nasty, and that's the way I want to be. And I had no conviction. I was never felt bad about it. I had no conscience. I had no morals. I had no religion. And I was happy as a clam. I mean, you can be wicked as all get out. And God's okay with that. He loved me. I didn't understand it. I didn't want him to love me. I didn't even want his love. Don't love me. I don't even love me. Don't love me. But he did. He kept pursuing me. Why? Because I was a chair one. I was a total chair one. Never had any guilt about anything that I did. Lie, cheat, steal, and so on and so forth. I hope there's no young people here. But, you know, I did all that. And I did it with delight. I practiced it in front of a mirror even. Let's see if you look innocent. Yeah. Yep. I'll look like this. And I practiced doing it so I never got caught. And I never got caught. So you can trick your way through life. But I never for one moment, one second thought I'm a good person. I never had that thought. Never. I'm certain of it. I never had that thought. I never thought, well, you're a good person. I never thought that. I always knew I was wicked. I always know when I behaved myself, I was faking you out. I was just trying to use you so I could grab something when you weren't looking. Is anybody here like me? I bet there's two. One. I got one. Two. Three. Praise God, I'm in the right church. I love that. Is anybody else? Because I like to have some pals. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it's good. Amen. Praise God. The rest of you are liars and you're going to hell. Anyway, so, no. If you were talked into it by your parents or by somebody as I'm a good person, you know, and so on, that's just morals. That's just man in his best state, altogether vanity. That's just all your righteousness, all your self-righteousness is a filthy rag. Amen? Amen. The experience of people is that even though I ought to be, and even want to be, I think, sometimes I do something I know is wrong. That's called double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So when you're unstable, that means you're double-minded. You have two wills, two thoughts, two whatevers. And so you're divided. You're not a single person. In fact, you don't even know who you are. In fact, you're not even a person. Because a person is passionate. One or four. Cold or hot. Now, that's a person. Either I'm all the way for the devil, I'm all the way for myself, I'm not for God at all, or I'm all the way for God and I'm not for myself and I'm not for others. And I can't have it both ways. Either God is your only life, your only love, your only joy, your only peace, your only everything, or he's not, period. He won't accept anything in the middle. So all that middle stuff, he doesn't count as anything. He just vomits it out of his mouth. So I'm not making this up. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, that the church in the last days is going to be like that. The church in the last days, Laodicea, you're going to be like that. So he says, if you are cold, you're all right. Because I love cold, and I can still win cold. Because as I said, if you really think you're evil, you'll find out that you're even more evil than you know. Because evil isn't just doing a lot of bad things like murder and adultery and so on. Evil is actually being. And so someone who is nice on the outside may actually be nasty on the inside. A lot of church people are like that. I would say 98%. A lot of church people are like that. They behave themselves, and they're very nice till they get out in the parking lot, till they get at home. And a lot of times they're a different person. Or they do it all the way until they're lying on their deathbed, and then all of a sudden grandmother, who's had some kind of medicines put into her, starts yelling and screaming and swearing, and you can't believe it. And they're all figuring out what to do after she dies and how to divvy up the stuff. And she's ticked off at that, because I've been a good Christian. I've been praying for you kids all the while, and you're squabbling with each other, and I hate you all. So you just realize, grandmother, you never talk like that, you know. So you learn that don't go by appearance. We judge with right judgment. The Bible tells us the absolute truth. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And by the time that he comes back, you will not be perfected, but at the moment the trumpet sounds, you'll be perfected. That's the first time. Now, but you can live daily on a perfect basis, but the next day you have to start again. In other words, you can conquer lust. You can conquer anger. You can conquer pride. You can conquer envy. You can conquer doubt, self-pity, and so on. You can conquer all those things, fear. But you got to do it every day. And that wears you out after a while, because sometimes you just get tired of it. You know, I'm tired of conquering pride. I'm going to have pride for about an hour. I'm just going to feel bitter for about 4 hours this afternoon. You know, and it just comes on everybody. You know, you can say, well, I'm not going to worry, and you need to start worrying about that. Jeez. Man, if I don't worry, what will happen? I better keep a worrying. And so you're not going to beat God. God gets this thing rigged so that you're going to be guilty. You're going to be guilty. But as a Christian, you're never guilty. There's no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. Why? Because, you know, I'm no longer under the law of sin and death. I'm under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which has set me free from the law of sin and death. So I'm a new creation. I focus on that rather than look at myself growing. I want to look at myself dying. I just want to, in other words, if I keep my eyes on him and his unconditional love, it'll kill me. Because I'll realize, you know what, I'm not quite like that yet. And I don't waste a lot of time confessing my sin or counting beads or running around the block or lighting candles or something like that. I don't do any of that. I just go, Jesus, I did that. Thank you that that's not who I really am. I'm a new creation because of your promise to finish the good work you started in me. So I'm not worried at all about that sin that I just sinned. I just confess it. I acknowledge it. I own up to it. But I'm not going to feel bad about it, and I'm not going to make any changes. I'm just going to keep my eyes on you and your promise. So I'm never conscious of sin. I'm not looking at the sin. I'm not worried about the sin. You say, well, shouldn't you be? No. You just keep your eyes on Jesus. We are changed by doing what? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Why? Because he loves me unconditionally. Am I any good? I don't care if I am or not. I'm not even going to look at that. I just believe what Jesus said. The good work I began, I'll complete it. I've never started a work that I didn't finish. So that means I'm going to be perfect. But I am perfect today, but I don't look like it. I don't feel like it. I don't understand it. I don't desire it. It doesn't matter. None of that counts. The only thing that counts is Jesus made a promise and I believe it. So I'm happy all the time. I'm literally happy all the time. You can ask Peggy. He is always happy. It's one of the things she hates about me is, you're always happy. Even when you sin, you're happy. You know, I hate you for that. I hate you. Because I want to sin too, but I would not be happy if I sinned. But you're happy even when you sin. You know, so that can irk you if you're a chair too. So I'm trying to get Peggy to bring out some of her sin, and she's getting better at it. She's getting really good at it, as a matter of fact. And so how many know that when you're a chair one, you're loved? You're unconditionally loved. He loves every chair one person. Everybody, you're not only born chair one, you're conceived chair one. Did you know that? Do you know you're conceived in sin? As a matter of fact, your ancestors have a great deal to do with your name or your nature or who you are. Your ancestors. What do I have to do with someone that lived, you know, three generations ago? Well, they might have cursed you. There might be witchcraft or masonry in your family. There might be all kinds of, you know, nonsense, and they dedicated you to some, you know, dark thing. Well, no, just all you have to do is meet Jesus. When you meet Jesus, he forgives you all your sins, and then he starts to cleanse you, and he sends you through the fire to burn up all that stuff. And if you need deliverance, we had deliverance just before I came over in Dallas. The most popular kid in Highland Park High School. He just graduated. And I can tell you about this story because we just delivered him. But he won over 200 students to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he just took no for an answer. I mean, he wouldn't take no for an answer. Whatever. Do you know Jesus Christ? No, I don't. You know, so on and so forth. He said, well, are you in drugs or something like this? And this and that and so on and so forth. And he said, well, I used to be on that, but this is wrong. I want you to repent right now. And he just gets 200. He's already got 200 kids out of Highland Park High School. That's awesome. So he's the most popular kid in school. And then all of a sudden he went to Florida a few weeks ago and he got demon possessed. Got demons all over him. He began to think he was awesome and great and so on and so forth. Don't you think that's funny? Well, you don't, but I do. And so a whole bunch of guys got together to deliver this guy and they couldn't do it. He overthrew all of them. That's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. And I had just shared at one of the thriving young people churches over there, I had just shared with them the day before, the pastors, that, you know, you don't want to just deliver people because maybe it'll all come back if you don't deliver them in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you just do it in the flesh, it's not going to work. And so they could be worse off, seven times worse off, after you deliver them and it doesn't work. If you only hit most of them or you didn't hit them in the right order or whatever else, this is not a game. You can't just say, in the name of Jesus, blah, 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 go. It's more than that. Maybe you have to fast. And I did. I fasted before I went. And I told him that. I said, you know, I fasted not to tell you what I did, but to tell you that some demons don't come out unless you're completely pure on the inside. Because if I had the demon, I couldn't throw that one out of you and the other person that was with me. I said the same thing. And so he got set free. He's completely free now. And he's still on all the medicines that he was on. And, you know, they got him going to the nut house every day to see how he's doing. But that doesn't mean anything. You can save anybody, set free anybody, heal anybody at any time. The kingdom of God has come. And you have the authority and the power to do that. And I believe this young man is going to continue. After he does what he was told to do, is right now don't do anything. Just rest in the Lord. Just don't witness and testify that you're all set free. Don't save all the people at the nut house. You know, just leave it alone. How many know that they don't like that stuff in the nut house? That you were wacko a few days ago and now you're completely set free because somebody prayed for you. You know, they just think we belong in the wacko house too. So, but I'm just telling you, there's no way that young man is completely free. There's no way. The devil would love to be able to say, yeah, you see, you tried, but you didn't get it all done. I guarantee you, he's free. And not everybody needs that. I just have to say that in case somebody thinks here, you have to have that just because you have a lot of sin in your life. It may not be the devil. It may just be you. So everybody doesn't need deliverance. Everybody does not. Jesus did it, but it's just one part of his ministry. But he didn't go up to everybody and say, you need to be born again and delivered. You know, you don't necessarily have to be delivered. Maybe you're just wicked. For example, me. I'll just say plain wicked. And after you get done with deliverance, you still have to confess all your sins. The deliverance is against the devil, but the sins are against the Father. They're different things. So all these powers that he's given us, it's time for the church to go all the way, because coming back for a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, no stain, no blemish, no nothing, nothing part of this world. You can't even have one small little sin that you're keeping. Well, I'm just going to keep anger just in case God doesn't come through. Well, you can't keep that. You can't be angry ever. Man, when am I going to get to be the real me? No, the real you is whatever you are. You're chair one, stay chair one. If you're chair four, you're chair four. And so God wants us to grow. So you have to grow through three stages. It's always three. It's never two and it's never four. It's always three. Justified, sanctified, glorified. So when you're justified, you don't get rid of your sin. They just get forgiven. When you're sanctified, you don't get rid of your sin. Your flesh is just crucified. You cut the tree down that produced the sin. But how did you do that? By faith. Same way you did the first one, faith. The second one, faith. The third one, faith. Because you're not having faith in yourself to do it. You're having faith in him that he done it. It's already done. It's done in heaven, but now it's being done on the earth gradually. Little children, young men, mature fathers. Young women, mature women. You know, it's done perfectly by the Holy Spirit. And so you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. To be baptized means to be immersed molecule to molecule so that everything of him is filled into everything of you. And that pushes out all of the you. So that you're like a branch now that has all the juice of the vine in you and all of your own deadness is gone. So you have a branch that's lying on its, on the ground somewhere, it'll produce no fruit. But you graft that into the vine, the first thing that's going to happen is not fruit. First thing that's going to happen is life is going to pour into that and drive out death. That's why you have to crucify your flesh. And then the fruit comes. So are you hot, passionate, fully spirit, soul, and body, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength? Or are you still in chair one? Or are you just lukewarm, kind of in the middle? Well, in the middle doesn't exist. There is no such thing as in the middle. You're either for me or against me. It's either or. There's not both and. The whole world today is both and. Everything I was taught at Yale, everything I could have been taught at Harvard, I had a Harvard scholarship. Anything I could have been taught in Aberdeen, Scotland, or Heidelberg, Germany, anything, all the schools that I had scholarships for, anything I was taught would always be both and. None of them would be either or. I know it. I know it for certain. That they don't have anything like Christianity, which is either or. Either you're born again or you're not. You're either pregnant or you're not. You're either filled or you're emptied. You know, I mean, it's one way or the other. You can't have it both ways. So how many here, and don't raise your hand, but how many here are filled with the Spirit on a daily basis, but your heart is already pure? You know that your heart, you just believe. Faith cometh by hearing. You heard it. You saw it written in the book, and all of a sudden, it just went into you, and you believed. You didn't make yourself believe. He didn't force you to believe. You just believed. And then you submitted to Jesus, and instead of all the miracles and wonders and signs that you thought were going to happen when I submit to him, well, I'm going to just submit to Jesus, all hell breaks loose. And all of a sudden, I thought when I submitted to Jesus, I would be righteous and look good. Well, actually, the first thing he has to do is kill you before that. And that killing is my job. It's not your job. But I have to kill every one of you with the word. I have to preach the word in such a way that every single word in that Bible kills your flesh. In other words, you aren't going to like it. And so I have to say, go ahead and hate me or hate Jesus or hate somebody. It's not a problem. We want to bring out all your sin. And then we're just going to love you until you're dead. Love you to death. I just love you to death. Amen. It's good, isn't it, Obo? I love it. Because that's what love does. It kills the flesh. Love kills the flesh. When you love somebody, they aren't going to appreciate you. When you love somebody, they're going to turn on you. The one you love the most is going to turn on you the quickest. Actually, when you love somebody and they're full of sin, it's going to come out on you, the one that loved them. It's not going to come out on someone that hated them. They want to get the one that loved them, and so they attack them. That's a great thing when that happens. When people hate you, that's a wonderful thing. Did you know that Jesus was hated? The Pharisees hated him. They despised him. And you know what Jesus said? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But I do. As soon as they kill me, I'll jump up again a little later, you know, about 24 hours later. And then I'll forgive them, so on and so forth. And then I'll get a whole bunch, because the word never goes out without some kind of fruit. I'll get the fruit. I'm patient. So Jesus has been waiting around for his church for 2,000 years. That's just 2 days to God. But 2,000 years he's been waiting around for his church to come forward. Now we're in the 3,000th year, and he comes back on the third day. He's going to come back now. And we're not even ready yet. How many know we're not quite ready? But you can get ready real quick. You can get real quick. Just sit in chair four. And if you can't go any further, well, just sit there in chair four and say, Jesus, just forgive me. Just forgive me. You know, Savior, Savior, Savior. But when you're ready to take his lordship, that's when you go, look, I know you'll forgive me anything I do. I know that. I know you're not going to hate me and despise me. I know you love me unconditionally. I read it in the book, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Surely I am like the world, but now I'm not. I'm a saint. I'm a saint of God. Now I'm ready to submit, but he won't force you to do it. You just have to volunteer. God, I'm ready to go through the fire. Out. Okay, it changed my mind. Wait a minute. That's a little hotter than I was thinking. Turn that down. He won't turn it down. How many know he won't turn it down? And he'll reinterpret your word as turn it up. And, you know, it's just like you're obviously not yet burned. You know, wow, well, I just got even close to that thing. That was too hot. And I realized, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. No. I'm not forcing you. Okay, well, I'll think about it a little bit. No, you won't. just come ahead. Trust me. Trust me. Don't obey me. Trust me. Don't obey me. Just trust me. Wasn't I the one that just saved you? Yeah. Okay. Well, then come on through. It's good for you. It'll only kill your flesh. It won't kill your spirit. It'll actually purify your spirit. In fact, everything you're praying for is what you're going to get when you go through this difficult situation. How many know you go through difficult situations? Because God allows them. He designs them. Meaning, he knows that. He knows that. So when you get in trouble, that's good. That's a good thing. That's why we rejoice when we face all kinds of trials and troubles and tribulations and so on and so forth. All that stuff, that's good. Why? Because you're his beloved. How can it go wrong? Everything out there, including what everybody's doing that's to hurt you, it's all going to turn out for your good. Just walk through the fire. Don't be afraid of it. Just go through. And so let's say you go back each time. Okay, that's okay. But sooner or later, you're just going to trust him, because it's getting so desperate that you just go right through it like that. And besides, he's there with you to take your hand. Said, I'm with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Just trust me. Come on, just give me your hand. I won't grab it. Just give me your hand. And then he'll pull you through. And when he does, you'll give him all the glory. You'll give him, you know, I didn't do it, because my flesh did not want to go through that fire, because it would be dead. And it doesn't want to die. How many of your flesh doesn't want to die? Even though people pray, oh God, take me now, I'm ready. Well, hopefully that's a Christian. Because if it's not, they do not want to be ready right now. They just mean they're so sick that sounds better. That's all they mean. The pain is so much, I can't take it. That's what suicide people do. But the truth is that you want to go through voluntarily while you're still alive right now. You want to do that on a daily basis. Every day you go through the fire. You learn to walk through the fire right away, because you realize, hey, you know what? The fire can't burn me. It can only burn my flesh, and I need my flesh to be burned. I need to be crucified with Christ daily. Daily. I repented one time to become a Christian. Now I have to do it daily for my soul to get as pure and perfect as my spirit. And then I'll walk in love after that, because now that I'm burned up, everything is love. I don't really care for myself anymore. You can't make yourself do that, but he just does that when you see his love and you realize he's going to go through all of it. As a matter of fact, it's his love working through you. It's not your work. It's not you doing it. You know that he did all of it. So, hot, that's the best. Cold, that's good too. But lukewarm, that's not good. The church today, foolish. Church today is foolish. You want to be a wise virgin. You know that he wants you to be without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. That's what the fire does. being saved won't do that. You can be justified by faith all day long. That will not make you grow up. You still have all your sin. He forgave it? Yes. It's enough to go to heaven? Yes. But that's not what he wants. So the question isn't, how much can I get away with and still go to heaven? That's not the question. The question is, Lord, what do you want? I need to trust you. Because you're not going to find happiness in this world without that fruit of bringing others into the kingdom of God. Your life, and especially your own children, especially your own family, especially people right around you that you work with and so on. That's where you start, very practical. And for men, as we talked the last few days, Obo, for men, it's they take all the burden, the wife gets all the blessing. That's a real man. That's a real man. And Larry, I want you to stand up right now. I want you to tell your wife, you know, I want you to have all the blessing. I don't want any. I don't need any. Jesus takes care of all my needs. I want you to have everything. I want all the burden. If there's any burden on you, I'll take it, and I'll do it with joy.
What did he say?
Amen. What did that mean, straighten up? I don't know. It's good. It's good. But all your prayers will be answered. All your prayers will be answered. You don't have to see them, but you just know that. When you just trust Jesus. You know, he doesn't want you to do any labor. Come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke of mine. Learn of me, for I'm gentle, lowly of heart. And what? My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I mean, it's not hard. Once you go through, he's just lightening your load. That's why he justified you. That's why he wants to sanctify you. And that's why he wants to glorify you. What is your glory? To serve his purposes. Who would want to do that if they were still in the flesh? Nobody. But get rid of your flesh. That's what the fire's for. You get rid of your flesh, all of a sudden you find yourself wanting to do the will of God. I want to say your words, I want to do your deeds, and so on and so forth. It's fun. I tell you, it's fun. The pastor that we were with, Pastor Al Moore, he has a church of about 150 people that came with us, but I think he has about 200-some people. But he was telling us at lunch, just the three or four of us, he was telling us, you know, for me, Christianity is fun. It's a joy to serve my wife and to serve the people and so on and so forth. And it is. There's nothing more exciting than to do for others when you know Jesus Christ has already given you everything. You can't lose it. There's no way to lose what he's given you up in heaven. It's there. Everything you've ever wanted for all eternity. If God holds back one thing in his house from you, then he's a liar. And he isn't a liar. Nothing's going to be withheld. You got everything today. You don't see it. You don't possess it today in your hand. But it's already yours. That's your inheritance. So he's only holding back the things that you don't need right now. But when you get to heaven, you won't have anything on earth. It'll all burn up. It'll all be gone. So you get to die today, which is better. Die twice, and then you live forever. Well, I hope you're blessed today. God is so good. Let's have a testimony. Who would like to testify? Who would like to testify? Pastor, I understood what you said in the spirit. Not my mind, but in my spirit. I knew what you said was true. All right, who'd like to be next? Yes, Larry. Go ahead.
Yeah. He wants for us.
Yeah.
And in his kingdom is all peace.
Yeah.
All fulfillment.
Amen.
But the key to it is being filled daily.
David.
Presence. We're not going to create his kingdom.
Right.
It's us drawing close to him, and then somehow his kingdom comes
right
in our life.
Right.
It's a joy.
It's powerful.
So just hear him calling you or willing you to come and spend time with him.
I love
it.
Hear
him. And don't do it as a law. Just
right.
Just
it's easy.
Just go, because he's willing. He
said, yeah.
Come to me, all you
yeah
heavy laden.
It's powerful. Did you know right now the world's scared? I mean, you can just look at the television any day or read the newspaper or something, really. Everybody is falling apart, and they have no solutions except more oppression. I mean, they don't have any solutions. You know, maybe the last thing is let's all just kind of force each other together and maybe something will come. It's not going to come. And they're never going to have a unified earth. You're never going to have a unified nation again either. You're not going to have anything. Only thing that's any hope would be us being the light and the salt, being the temple of the living God. And so it has nothing to do with you getting into heaven. It has to do with getting heaven into others. And it isn't for you. You're already going. But you need to have others in there. And if they don't see your light and your salt, if they don't see the living God exhibited in your life so that they can glorify him, they'll have no hope. There is no hope today in the world. They are losing it quickly. And as the oppression deepens in our own country, as it deepens all over the world, Israel's in big trouble. And right now she's getting a little release, but you know what? They're not going to quit. It's not going to end it. I don't care how much they do. They may get a little territory back, but it's not going to stop. The Antichrist is going to set up his, and God's letting him. He's letting him do it. So the only issue is us. We're the ones being tested. We're the ones that God is saying, I will have a people. Well, where are they? You know, well, it's got to be you and me. We're the ones. It's got to be you and me doing it right now, because the world needs that. So don't do it for yourself selfishly. You're not in chair one. Do it because you really are filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's the only hope of this world. How many know God's going to have his way? He's going to have a people. He's going to come back to a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing.
I'd just like to share something the Father gave me before the service. Do not fall into the deception of your minds, dwelling on the thoughts, the outcome of the circumstances. It only bursts in the flesh, unbelief. It only bursts in your spirit, unbelief. Seek Father's thoughts. They are full of his promise and create life. His thoughts of you are perfection. Seek the fulfillment of his promises, not the outcome of the circumstances in the flesh. All his promises are yes and amen, and you are partakers of this. Yes and amen. Stop allowing your flesh to persecute your spirit. This day, declare and decree his promises over your life. We have a Father that is passionate about his promises.
It's good. Praise God. All right. God is good. God is great. Ushers.